Nobody can predict exactly what is going to happen. The best laid plans of mice and men gang aft agley, said Robbie Burns. Incidents occur that upset or derail our plans. We have the world carefully sorted out to our own thinking, then something happens to spoil it. When Linda and Ron married 50 years ago, they probably had at least a vague idea of what they could expect from the future. We all do. But they little knew that they would end up here, now, in this place. As the saying goes, man proposes, but God disposes. God had plans for them that they could not see at the time. And the same is true for all of us. There are things out there waiting for us that we do not yet know. But we trust him for all that will come. We pledge ourselves to one another and to God's purposes. Change will come, sometimes good, sometimes bad, but by mutual support and love and friendship, God's will be done. We know that God has been central to the life of Linda and Ron, and we congratulate them for that wise, wise decision to have him at the centre. But they do not know what will happen next. Anything could happen. But we're going to now dedicate what is left to God. So I'm going to ask them if they will come to the front, please. We know not what the future holds. It'll hold many things. It'll hold friendships and loves, joys and happiness, and perhaps the occasional sorrow. But everything we have, we dedicate to God. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and be with you in all the days that are to come, as he has been in the past. God bless you. You can consider yourself lucky. You get two sermons for the price of one today. I want you to put yourself for a moment in the position of that paralyzed man. You are stuck on your mat all day long with no mobility. You depend on friends even to get you out of the house. Life is, to put it bluntly, boring and pretty pointless. You can do nothing and achieve nothing. Fortunately, you have some really good friends who take an interest in you. That gives you a little bit of relief, but they too have to go on to do work, so they can't be with you every moment of the day. Still, something happens. You're lying there on your bed and you hear a rumour going round, a rumour of a miracle worker who might be of some use to you if only you could get to see him. Your friends, will they help? Will they be on your side? Will they take you to see this miracle worker? Perhaps this is your last hope. Will they help? Of course they will, because that is what friends do, and you trust them. Besides, what have you got to lose? You might as well go and see what happens. This was not an easy thing to ask of the friends. They did not have nice, neat pathways as we do in Haverhill. They had to struggle carrying this man between them along dusty roads, in the heat, What is the heat like in that part of the world at the moment? Interesting. So they're carrying this weight on dusty roads, which are difficult, in great heat, and everybody else from the town is also streaming there as well. So you have to barge your way through groups of people just to get your friend in front of Jesus. And of course, when you get to his house, they're blocking the doorway. And there's no way you can climb over all these sweaty bodies to drop your friend in front of Jesus. Oh, what do you do? How far will your friendship go? Somebody has a bright idea. Right, we'll take him up on the roof. We'll take the roof down and we'll let him down. Oh, we won't let him down. We will let him down. And we'll lower him in front of Jesus. Ah, now's a problem. Breaking and entering a house is illegal. Should we do it? Or should we give up and go away? Friendship wins out. And they say to themselves, right, we will climb up. We'll climb up the stairs and we'll drop him down in front of Jesus. The trouble is that is the stairs are outside. So at least the roof was accessible. But can you imagine four of you carrying this weight in the heat, dust flies up an incline like that, with the possibility of his body falling off? That shows an awful lot of faith, an awful lot of trust, both on behalf of the paralyzed man and his friends. But they struggle, and they do, and they get him onto the roof. And then they start scrabbling on that roof to rip open the space. I'm not quite sure what they used to tie the whole lot together. In England, we always used to use dust, dirt, straw, and cow dung to make roofs like that. I wonder if that's what they had to deal with as well. Still, their friendship was so important. They made the hole, and Jesus, as he was preaching and healing, would have a shower of dust and dirt coming down in front of his face. I wonder what the people inside said. Who's this disturbing Jesus? There he was right in the middle of a good story, healing some of our friends when... And then lo and behold, not only is dust coming down, so is a man, and he appears in front of them. Wow. I wonder what they thought. This man is disturbing Jesus. That's not right. And the scribes and Pharisees are being very rude about what Jesus is saying. And the crowds are in the way. But the man appears because their friendship is so strong. They've had this confrontation of priorities, to obey the law or to obey the law of friendship. And the friendship won out. The crowds will have been opposed to this man simply because he's queue jumping. Have you ever been to a bank or somewhere, got in a queue, then somebody jumps the queue? The queue is in uproar. Get to the back, don't push in. We were there first. And Jesus looks at this man, looks at the friends, and says, your faith has made you whole. The faith of that man to trust his friends, the friendship of the friends to trust in God's good love is something wonderful. And so the man is healed. It is almost like, as far as we're concerned, an active parable of friendship. It's how the world ought to be. It shows a friendship as being so great and so all-encompassing that it would put itself out for somebody who they consider to be of value. Because that man the paralyzed man must have been of great value for them to want to put themselves out that much for him. There must have been something about him which resonated with them. He was a great man, I suspect. And when he appears, their friendship is vindicated. Such friendship and faith bring such a reward. Let us rejoice in those who have faith in us, who look at us and say, there's something in that person that I can admire, something in that person that I want to love. And as we mention our prayers, may our eyes look at our people around and say, what a wonderful person that is. How do we value people in our midst? How do we show them that love and support that they need in good times or bad? Such great friendship is a tremendous gift from God. And we rejoice too in the gift of the friendship of Jesus. He had never seen that man before, I suspect, but when he appeared in front of him, Jesus' love and friendship encompassed him. Jesus is a friend who would go at any length for us, to care for us, to want to be with us. And he calls on us, as his friends, to serve his other friends, the people around our neighbourhood, the people who are given to be our new friends. There's a Sri Lankan theologian called Aloysius Pierce, and he was concerned about the way the gospel should be put over. And he once gave some Buddhist monks and theologians a copy of St. John's Gospel. And he asked them to read St. John's Gospel all the way through and then come back and report to him what they found special. And after a month they returned and he asked them, what did you find special about John's Gospel? And they said, what we found special was that God could get down on his knees and wash the feet of his friends. That's the one big thing that other people see in the gospel. The Christ who serves us, who served us then and who serves us now, and who encourages us to show that same loving friendship and to worship by getting down on our knees, either literally or metaphorically, and serving the people around us. Are we prepared to be called his friends and to act as his friend and serve him as we serve everybody? Christ gave his life for all and asked us to give all of our life to serve him. Amen.